everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Keeping It Real podcast with the M&A Youth Team. Today we have a very special episode as we are joined by two M&A employees, Wyatt Telford, who is an Intergovernmental Relations Coordinator for the M&A, a passionate advocate for Métis culture and rights. Wyatt's home is the Fishing Lake Métis Settlement, where he still goes to reconnect the land when he gets a chance. Teaching his culture to others has been a key piece of his identity since he was very young. Wyatt's mother used to teach classes on things like jigging, and since he was around nine, he helped out in Seek and Jig as well. Wyatt is now pursuing further recognition of Métis rights in Alberta. In his spare time, Wyatt teaches different cultural skills, such as sash weaving, jigging, beading, bannock making, and bush skills. Kara Paul grew up in northern Alberta, spending time in both Fort Vermilion and High Level. Kara has lived in Edmonton for the past 2 years, where she recently completed her third year of the Bachelor of Education degree. Kara has worked as a programming assistant at the M&A for nearly a year now, and she is very passionate about her Métis culture and supporting Indigenous youth. So we are super excited to be joined by Wyatt and Kara today, and we'll head over to that interview right now.
Hello, welcome to Keeping It Real with the M&A. I am Brighton. I am Skylyn today, and we are joined by Kara and Wyatt, who both also work for the M&A and have worked for the M&A as summer students. So Kara and Wyatt, could you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Kara Paul. I am a summer student here with the M&A.
Hello, my name is Wyatt. I was a summer student with the M&A. Now I'm working full-time in the Intergovernmental Relations Department as a coordinator.
Thank you for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit about your Métis roots, like your family, your history, community? Just tell us a little bit about where you came from so that our listeners can know.
I am originally from Fort Vermilion, High Level area, which is very northern Alberta. Both of my parents are actually Métis, as well as my grandparents on my mom's side. I've always fully admitted that I feel like I definitely grew up with a loss of culture, and I don't think it was around. I was probably about 15, 16 when my family and I collectively decided that we wanted to take our own initiative and learn more about our culture, which actually started with going to a lot of events that the Métis Nation put on, such as YSG and Headstrong. And I think that's where we began to really learn more.
Yeah, so family, I'm from Region 2. My home community is Fishing Lake Métis Settlement. My grandfathers and my grandmother, one of them, are Métis, and I have one settler grandmother, and I'm related to Cardinals, Desjardins, and DeRochers. Grew up in community. My mother has been very active in keeping up with her culture. She used to teach beading classes, used to teach jigging, used to do all kinds of different things. Growing up, I lived close to a lot of Indigenous communities and grew up learning Cree language in school. Grew up with my grandmother speaking Cree. I'm not fluent, hear things occasionally that I understand, and am actively trying to learn it again.
Okay, so like we said earlier in the podcast, you both started at the M&A as summer students. So we were just kind of wondering how you came to be in the summer student program at the M&A. Like, what motivated you guys to apply?
Like many things, my mom sent me the job offering, of course. Classic mother, always just like keeping on task of what I should be doing. And like, as I said before, I've always been interested in learning more, and I've definitely tried to take the steps into doing that. And when my mom sent me the job offering, it seemed like the perfect thing to do. I'm also currently taking a Bachelor of Education, so working with kids, even though we haven't got to see them in person as much as I'd like to because of COVID, has always been something that I've enjoyed doing. So I kind of just seemed like a no-brainer to apply, and I'm definitely glad that I did.
For me, similar experience. I follow the M&A on Facebook, and I see often when things get posted. So just following them, and also same thing, my mother told me about it. I had my girlfriend's mother tell me about it, and everyone seemed to think it was a good idea. I was transitioning away from a different job that I had been working in for like four previous summers. So change of pace, and it was something close to me in culture.
That's awesome. It sounds like you guys both had a lot of support from your families. And I could say the same thing for myself. Yeah, I kind of had the similar experience where my mom was like, hey, you should apply for this. And just having that support's awesome from your family.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like that's like how majority of youth end up getting their positions, is it's always like a parent or family member is like, hey, look, this is perfect for you.
I saw this on
saw this on Facebook. It's perfect for you. You should apply to it. Or like, they're like, isn't this what you're interested in for work? Like, why don't you apply for it? So I just feel like that's like a really common thing for and how kind of everybody starts. But you both had very different like upbringings. Like Wyatt, you said you were always immersed in it, immersed in the main culture and your family and like learning the language. And Kara, like you said, you it wasn't until you were like 15, 16. How has that influenced your work, or how has your work influenced your life and your culture now?
I definitely think the work has been a really good step into like learning more about my culture. There's so many things I don't even think I like realize. Like I remember even like the first week going through the Métis Nation like cultural handbook of like how much I'd been missing out on. And even Wyatt and I had done a youth night where he had done fish scale art. And I feel like that was probably like the second time I ever even heard of fish scale art. So it's actually been like so great to be able to, I feel like I kind of learn with the youth, like as we're sending out these like cultural kits or like doing these different events, I'm kind of just like, even though I'm helping like run this, like I'm kind of right where you are because I'm still a youth myself. I'm only 20, so I'm the youngest on the youth team. So I'm just kind of like riding a wave, like kind of with the youth and like learning what they're learning, but also like with you guys. But I definitely think working here has been, I feel like I've learned more since I started here in May than I've probably learned like in my like last 20 years of life. So it's been pretty eye-opening. It's been pretty like a good opportunity for sure.
And I like that because it's kind of, it's like, it's never too late. Like it's never too late to do anything in your life. Like you said, like you're 20 and you're still learning. And I feel like it's going to be like that for the rest of our lives. Like even now, like we're working with the Métis Nation, we're totally immersed in like the history, we learn about it, we're doing all these cultural programs, and even years from now we're still going to be like, oh, what was that? That's really cool. I didn't know that about like our history. And we're always learning something new, which is really cool.
Sure. I grew up in a community that has a lot of Indigenous people. And I always kind of felt like I was like missing out, or people were like having these conversations where I'm like, I feel like I should know what's going on, but I don't. And I always felt like semi ashamed about it, or I'd have friends that were the same age as me that knew more. But I always tell people like, it's never too late. It's never too late to go to school or like get that job or learn more. I actually just had a conversation with someone about this the other day who never even realized she was Métis until this year. And I was like, all I can tell you is like, it's in your hands about the research that you do for it, but like it's never too late, whether you're like 10 or you're 60. Like if that's what you want to do and like learn, then definitely go ahead and do it.
Yeah. For myself, my personal experience being culture and stuff and how it guides me a little bit, being kind of around my grandparents, they all had different but similar views on indigeneity, and they all kind of did things differently. They gave me a lot of different examples of what it meant to be Métis. Growing up, my grandfather on my mother's side, he would take me hunting and trapping when I'd go there for the summer. And that was something, as like a kid who grew up in town, I did not like. And he knew it, and he liked to bug me about it. So he would take me out for hunting ducks or something. And I remember one time he made me carry it back, and I just kind of like barely held it in my hands myself. Oh, so gross. But looking back on it now, it's a good experience that I grew up with, just learning to harvest things. And then I remember that was cooked later on that night. And I would say a common thing from all of them has just been listening to people, your community members, and there's always things to learn from each other. Moving forward, whenever you're doing work in general, it's always guided by community. So whether it's a new program you're coming out with, whether it's something you're negotiating on, it's always guided by community, whether that's through engagement, whether that's through conversations you've had with other people at a local or even at an event. People are always talking. Métis people take events like going for a dance and they'll talk. They'll go to kitchen and have supper that night and they'll talk politics. There's always something going on being talked about that people always have an opinion on. So always listening to people is the main thing that I've taken away from my family.
Well, also when you grow up on a Métis settlement, you're in a small community of all these Métis people, and that's all you see all the time in your community. So everyone's kind of like on the same page, and you are very cultured because usually like the community has events like at the halls or like suppers, or like they'll teach you jigging and stuff. So it really is interesting to see the difference between your guys' experience, but how you guys kind of do the same path.
I don't know why, like what Wyatt said about like learning from people. I think the biggest thing with the M&A is like, you never have to be afraid to ask. Like, I'll totally admit I'm kind of a person who like gets nervous about like, is this a dumb question to be asking? And I don't think I've ever felt that once. Like, I remember feeling kind of nervous, like going, like when we were doing the fish scale art, and like why it was completely helpful, like never made me feel like small or belittled or like I didn't know what I was talking about, when truthfully I had no idea. Like, he was explaining how you have to like wash the scales, and I was like totally mind blown, but like super intrigued. And I think the most important thing about this job is just surrounding yourself with people who are like more than willing to help you. And I've always found that's been the case, like working with the M&A.
So since we just were talking about that, do you guys want to say your favorite thing about being part of the M&A team?
Working with you guys. It's actually, I feel like we have, like, maybe I'm just like so biased because it's our department, but I feel like we just have such a great team and we all work like so well together. Like, I talk to most of you outside of work regardless, because like you guys were saying, you know about my scary driving apparently. So I just think everyone has like such a great relationship, and I just like absolutely adore our entire team, and I think we're so, so fun. Like, as much, I love working with the youth as well. I like pray that we get to see them in person soon, but to be able to host those events, you have to have like a good camaraderie with your team, and I think we have like such a good one, and it's like such a joy going to work because I just love everybody that I work with.
We're a strong team. It's like we're like a family, a work family.
And like, how you've never felt like bad or like that you were, you know, that people were like looking down on you for asking a question, and I think that that is something that we can all relate to, like whether you're like 10, 20, like 50, 60, however old you are, if you're wanting to learn more about your culture, because to be honest, like for the most part, I know a lot of people who never grew up experiencing their culture, and a lot of people who have, but there is a lot of people who have not grown up in their culture and they didn't get to experience that, but they want to learn and they want to experience that because they want to educate themselves. And even though they didn't necessarily grow up doing these things, it's still a part of who they are. It's still a part of your history. So don't ever be afraid to ask questions. And that's kind of what the Métis Nation is here for. We have our knowledge keepers, and we have, you know, just people on your department or people in other departments. You can always just reach out and be like, hey, you know what? I actually don't know a lot about this. Could you tell me a little bit more? So, you know, like, just don't ever be afraid to ask those questions. I think that's really cool.
It definitely is crazy, like, when you kind of get immersed in it and you realize how small the world is. Like, Skylar and I grew up 45 minutes away from each other, and I just had no idea. And I remember meeting Brayden on the first day, and we instantly were like, oh, you know so-and-so from Fort McMurray. Like, we just completely, like, have never met each other. And I think this job has, like, made me meet so many amazing people. Or my little brother Cade has talked about Madison Quintel and Madison Tipler for years, and finally being able to, like, put a name to a face and understand it all, you definitely do realize how, like, small
connected we are. but like yeah, we just don't like see each other or have never met each other. Then you come from the same places and you're like, wow.
Yeah, just like great connections. Like Wyatt, like he said, hasn't worked on our team. He's now doing a different position with the M&A. But every time I'm like thinking of fish scale art or we like have each other on Facebook, like Wyatt, I just gotta say, I miss you, man. We were like each other's little summer students. Wyatt like answered every little question that I have. But like so great that you're still like working with the M&A, but you are definitely missed.
Yeah, we miss you. We definitely miss.
Yeah, definitely. It's good being part of a new team, but at the same time, I'll still have allegiance to the youth. That's definitely where my heart lies. I got to say, probably the favorite part of working with the M&A, similar to you guys, is just community and probably like events as well. Going out, visiting with people. Oftentimes, you just kind of find a seat at things. And if you don't have a whole lot of family there, you meet new family. It's like, oh, yeah, this person has this relation or this relation. And you, once again, build out those networks of knowing people. And this summer, I got to meet all kinds of different folks at the AG. I got to meet, I think her name is Kate Gillis. She's a master's student at the U of C for like a whole bunch of Indigenous women's issues and histories. Very, very cool meeting her. And it's something I'd seen at the U of S, University of Saskatchewan there. It came up a lot in our kind of like university feed. And then meeting her in person was totally different. Very grounded in community, very easy to talk to. And like she brought her mom along and her mom was talking about all kinds of fun stuff too. And very cool.
That's really cool. I like that, you know, like you guys said, community. And I think that it's really cool that community always have to be like the people you know, like you're connected to all these different people. Like Kara said, you know, we know similar people. We have no idea who each other are, but then it's like that, it's just that community. Like we're so spread out. We don't live in the same place. We meet all these new people, but they're still a part of your community. And I think that's really cool. And I like that you both touched on that. So can you guys tell us a little bit about your current roles with the Métis Nation? Because like you both started off as summer students with the youth team and now you're both doing marvelous work still with the Métis Nation of Alberta. So can you tell us a little bit more about what you're currently working on?
So I started with the Métis Nation on May 10th, originally just supposed to be a summer student until I believe it was August 31st, which was actually my birthday. So I remember being like, this is terrible. I don't want to leave the Métis Nation. Like, this is going to be the worst birthday ever. Because I remember like thinking like, okay, I have 4 months. Like I have May, June, July, August. Like this is going to be a good thing. And I remember that like summer went by so quick and being like mid-July, just being so heartbroken that I loved everybody so much and I was going to have to leave. And then my position actually ended up getting extended until November, and then again it was like October and I was constantly sobbing thinking about leaving, and they had asked me to stay on until May of this year as a full-time youth project coordinator, kind of just as an assistant, like helping out. Like I don't have a specific region, but I kind of just like help out with all areas, and I'm just hoping that they keep extending me forever because I don't want to leave. And I know like they're going to keep giving me these end dates and I'm just going to be like, ah, whatever, like, you know, you'll extend me again and one day they won't. And I'm just, you'll just still find me the M&A, who knows, like sending up beating kits or something. Like, I'm just like, I'll work for free, but just keep me at the M&A. Like, I love everybody there. But yeah, as of right now, I'm kind of just a right-hand man for Madison Quintel. I feel like I kind of just help out wherever she needs, but I send out a lot of our wellness kits or embroidery or beading kits, but then also just kind of help on the sidelines of like project planning, I'm getting all my P's messed up. So kind of just with Headstrong and pre-recordings for YSG and then YSG and all that stuff. So that's kind of what I'm up to right now.
So I went through something similar. Started again in May and went through till August. And then once again in August, got a small extension into November. then afterwards, I had seen a job posting come up for the Intergovernmental Relations Department, and being a political science student, I decided that would probably be a good area for me to transition into next. I sent out my application, I got the job, got an interview, all that stuff, and I just started here about a month and a half ago, and it's been pretty good so far. I am an intergovernmental relations coordinator. I help our department lead, Tyler Fetch. He does all sorts of communications with all different levels of government. At the moment, it's primarily provincial and federal stuff. And anything that falls under the purview of intergovernmental relations could be meetings, could be negotiations, could be reporting, could be applying for new grants, or even listening to citizens on larger Métis rights issues. It's a very wide job description, and it's kind of whatever is needed at the moment, I kind of get put on. And yeah.
Do you guys have any advice for Métis youth that are wanting to apply for post-secondary or the student positions that you guys applied for?
My biggest piece of advice would just be to do it. Like, so many things in your life are pretty unknown and can be scary. I definitely remember being a 17-year-old high school student, like, so nervous about what I was going to, like, where I was going to apply. Like, I always knew that I wanted to do a Bachelor of Education and I wanted to work with youth, but, like, what university I wanted to be in, especially coming from, like, such a small, community in Northern Alberta, like, the idea of moving to Edmonton or to Lethbridge or to Calgary was exciting, but also really scary. Would have asked me when I applied in October of 2018 for university, like, I would have never told you that I wouldn't be living in Lethbridge anymore and that I'd be working for the, like, M&A and doing school online, because the idea of COVID was also completely crazy. Like, there's so many things that are super unknown, but I would just, like, it's never too late to go to school. Like, whether you're just freshly out of, like, high school and you want to apply for, like, post-secondary, like, education is power. Like, the more, like, the jobs that you take will totally open new doors for you. Like, I would have never thought that I would, like, work this job if you would have asked me, like, 2 years ago. Shout out to my mom for sending me the job application. Like, our moms are the best. But, and now this is, like, such a great stepping stone for when I do eventually, like, am a teacher and am teaching, just because I get to work with youth. So just, yeah, like, it's a small piece, like, tidbit of advice, but definitely just to bite the bullet and trust your gut and just to try new things. Like, maybe you will get the job, maybe you won't, maybe you will get into the university you want, maybe you won't, but just always know that, like, something better is coming, even if, like, it feels really heartbroken if you, like, had your, like, eye set on something and it, like, fell through. Like, just know that something better is coming, because it always does. That's my advice. That's my tidbit, my little spiel.
What's his name? Shia LaBeouf. Just do it. You know, just do it. Like, you're either going to get it or you're not going to get it. And if you don't get it, you know, there's going to be something else that comes along, and you're going to get the next one, right? Like, that one just wasn't meant for you. So,
but if you never try, it will always be no. The answer is always yes.
Yes.
Everything comes full circle. Like, when I was applying for university, I remember being like, I'm going to Lethbridge. That's it. Like, that's where I'm going to see myself for the next, like, 4 years of my program. I don't want to live in Edmonton. Everybody from high level moves to Edmonton. I'm never living in Edmonton. And then COVID happened and Lethbridge just didn't seem to make that much sense anymore, because it's 14 hours away from home and Edmonton just made more sense. But, like, that's what I mean. If you would have asked me 3 years ago, I would have been like, Edmonton, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not going to be there. And now people try to get me to move and I'm like, I don't think I'm ever going to leave Edmonton or the Métis Nation, but nice try. But check in with me in 3 years. Who knows? But just everything will always come full circle. And most of the time you'll end up laughing, because your mom was right all along. My mom always said, like, you're going to end up at the University of Alberta and living in Edmonton. And I was like, you're crazy. No, I'm not. And that's exactly what's happening. So just listen to your parents. They usually know what they're talking about. Another thing I'd like to add is to do your research, like, whether it's with, like, with jobs, or a big thing for post-secondary is, like, look up Indigenous bursaries and awards and scholarships. Like, I have, like, I never even thought that, like, how many were out there when I first applied for school. So many. There are, like, so many people want and, like, organizations want to support young youth into going to post-secondary, whether it's their, like, first year or their fifth year. Like, just look. I'm pretty sure you can go online and just search up Indigenous bursaries, and there's so many. That would definitely be my, like, biggest, like, tip for people, is just to do that, because it helped me so much over, like, the last few years, and that it's, like, never too late to go. Or even if you think there's barriers in your way, like, there's always a way to overcome them. I remember going to Lethbridge, and there was this one girl in my class who, I think her son was 4 years old, and she brought him to class every single day, and he sat there and she took notes. And then in my Indigenous class, there was a 6-year-old who just kind of lost culture throughout the way and was affected by residential schools, but came back and wanted to learn more. Like, it's never too late, but just to always look for those bursaries, because they're super, super helpful. That's, like, anyone applying for post-secondary, look for the bursaries. And even if you don't think, like, you apply, just apply. Just always apply for them. You never know what can come out of it. And look in your community. The first bursary I ever got was a strike energy bursary. Like, do I look like I work in energy? I don't do anything that has to do with, like, electrician or anything like that. But always apply. Just exactly what Wyatt said, is just half the time that they need to give out these bursaries, and they're just, like, looking to support youth, which is really great. So just always keep your eye out for that.
I like that you guys both said that, because I think what holds a lot of people back from going to post-secondary is funding. Like, post-secondary is expensive. It's not just expensive to attend, but, like, you're going to school full-time, so that means you're not working full-time. And there's a lot of barriers that are put up. But like you guys said, your community wants you to succeed. We want to see Métis youth succeeding in life. We want to see Métis youth getting their education and becoming huge stars in whichever industry they're heading into. That's what everybody wants to see. So apply to get these bursaries, to get these grants, because you have a whole community supporting you, because we all want that. I really like that. I went through education. I went through my whole 5 years without, not without, with the support of all these different organizations and bursaries and grants and scholarships. Because, yeah, apply to every single one. Because it doesn't take a lot to apply. Whether it's they're like, you just need a 2-page paper describing why you think you get this. If I'm being honest, 2 pages is what, 500 words? It's really not a whole lot. And whenever, I mean, I don't know, it might just be me, but I find when I'm talking about myself, I can easily talk over 500 words. Easily. It's no problem when I'm hyping myself up. And don't be afraid to hype yourself up. Like, you all deserve to get an education. You all deserve exactly what you want in life. So hype yourselves up. I love that. So then that's going to lead me into who or what inspired you the most, and what motivates you in your life, in whatever it is.
I think I have two answers for this. My mom has always, she's probably going to, like, listen to this, and I hope she sheds a tear, honestly. But my mom has always just had an amazing drive when it comes to having to get stuff done. She's not always just been in a position where she could slack off. Like, she's kind of had kids younger, but she's just an amazing teacher, and that's definitely who inspired me to be a teacher. I've just seen the way that she's affected students and how much they love her. And I know I'm not even being biased because she's my mom, because I've had several parents come up to me and just say, my kid is crying about, like, leaving grade 4 because they don't want to leave your mom. Like, they just absolutely love her as a teacher. And seeing that positive effect that she's made on other, like, youth in the community and just being a teacher is definitely what, like, drove me to being in a Bachelor of Education. But another big drive for me is just the youth. I think of who I was maybe in middle school or in high school and the things that I had went through, and the people who influenced me and helped me the most were my teachers and the people that I was surrounded by and the adults in my life. I like, you see your teachers more than you see your parents half the time. You're there for 8 hours a day, and there was just, there's no way you're not going to go through some hiccups, especially in those like 6 years of high school, and just having those teachers and adults to lean on. And there's still people that I have relationships with to this day. They're getting married and they're having babies, and I'm just, oh my gosh, congratulations. Or they like see me doing stuff or working at the Métis Nation, and they're always the first people to reach out. So I definitely think like thinking of myself as a youth is my biggest drive when it comes to work and also being in a Bachelor of Education, of just like, I want to give back to youth for like the people that gave to me, essentially. So I definitely think youth are my driving force, because they are the next generation and they are going to be the people making huge decisions in 6 or 10 or 20 years. Like, they are the stepping stone in society, essentially. So I definitely think youth is like my biggest motivation.
I would say community. Once again, community always helps drive me. There are family members in my life who've all kinds of different politics. My family has been involved in politics for a long, long time, whether it's directly or indirectly. My family always talks about an Andre DeLorme, and he helped start the M&A in like the 1920s. I like, always keep in mind the community, always work to help out, whatever you can do. For him, he wasn't an educated man. For him, he tried lobbying the government, and then eventually, with the help of a number of people, people like Joe Dionne, Malcolm Norris, Jim Brady, eventually his dream came to fruition with the settlements and getting a little bit of a little land base. But that always comes up, looking back on elders, looking back at your history and seeing how it guides you moving forward, how these ancestors and all your people before you have worked so hard for everything you have, and you need to keep moving it forward. Like Kara said, for the youth, for next generation after that, continuing forward, there's people that you don't even know about that'll be affected by what you're doing today. You know, that's what inspires me.
I love that. I love that this whole, you know, this whole, what is the word I'm looking for? We'll never know. We'll never know. What was I going to say? How important youth are. And I feel like a lot of times youth think that, you know, they're like, well, you know, like, I don't have a say. What I do, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Like, you are the generation that's changing the world. Like, you are the ones who are making the difference. Like, each generation of youth has done something to make the world better. So the youth that we have today, I can't even imagine how different the world is going to look, because they are all so passionate and resilient and strong and have all these great ideas for, you know, some things that we've been doing for years and years and years, that they're like, I think that there's a better option, and I'm fully in support of that. And I really appreciate and love how you guys both said that, how much youth inspire you and how important the youth are. Truly melts my heart just a little.
It's also crazy to think about how easy it is for youth to access like the internet, and how they have a space to be so influential. Like, you look at our parents, who our parents aren't even old by any means, but it's just like cell phones and the internet, and just having like this like at your fingertips to be able to express how you feel on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or blogs. Like, kids have so much more access to research than they used to, than just being able to go to a library and like research a book. They have all these differing opinions, and it's just, they have a place to like stand for what they want. Like, it's just very easy access, and it's like a place to be influential. And it is crazy to see these 13-year-olds with these voices and these platforms. And I think it's, if you're using it for the right reasons, I totally think it's amazing, because I remember being 13, 14, kind of, you're in this awkward like junior high stage or puberty stage, or you don't really know what's going on, but like, you don't want to talk to an adult about it, but you don't really know where to look. Like, I remember being just like, I don't know how to navigate this by myself. I don't know where to like find the answers that I want. And as much as I think you should always go to like a trusted adult, I think it's so beneficial for youth to be able to like see so many other people going through the same things as they are, so they know that they're not alone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're not alone. And with TikTok and social media and Instagram, like, you're not, like, what's holding you back? Because there's not, you know, it's not like, well, there's only five people in, you know, in my classroom, in my community that I can tell that will listen. Like, you have the entire world as your platform that can listen and support, that you can talk to, you can do your research. And that is something that youth have these days. So yeah, that's wow. I actually never thought about that until just this moment. That's wild. That's so wild.
But like, I remember coming from a northern community that's like pretty small, and like having interests that I felt like maybe one or two people were interested in, or I know other people felt like that. But then you have social media where you can connect with other people all over the world that are interested in the same things as you are. Like, Brian, I know you love BTS. It's so awesome that you can connect with other people who like love that as well. Or if Wyatt wants to talk about fish scale art, like there's people outside of his community. So there's so many things like that. And just to like keep connected. I know my little brother still talks to all the people that he went to the Métis Crossing Smoky Lake camp with like 4 or 5 years ago, and he still talks to them all the time through video games. And it's just like, hey, are you gonna go to Headstrong this year? Hey, are you going to YSG this year? And I think it's so cool that kids have the opportunity to stay connected with the people that they meet throughout the years.
Do you guys have anything that you want our listeners to know? Like, any, honestly, anything? I think this is like an exciting question, because I feel like we should ask everyone this in upcoming, like, what is a personal message that you want the youth to know?
Wyatt, who does answer first? I've answered first every other time, and I feel like I need a second to like gather my thoughts. So Wyatt, I'm throwing it to you.
Keep moving forward. Whatever it is, doesn't have to be, doesn't always have to be education. Could be work, could be something, you know. There's always need, whatever you want to do in life. You know, there's Buffalo now at Métis Crossing. You need caretakers for them. You know, you need staff who can help feed your communities. You have carpenters who help build homes. You know, seniors need people to help talk to them and guide them through all kinds of stuff happening in life nowadays. No matter what you do, yeah, moving forward, people are resilient. You know, we have been through a whole bunch of stuff, and we get through it. We have each other's back.
For me, I feel like I had a hard time thinking about this, because I just want to be like my mom and blurt out like a bazillion different pieces of advice, and but I don't want to overwhelm anybody. I think a big one would just to stay true to who you are and to have confidence in what you're doing. I know I still struggle to this day and having confidence with speaking up or feeling like presenting my ideas. Like, is this a good idea? What are people going to think? But like, you could be the next Steve Jobs. Like, you honestly don't know like what you're capable of doing until you try. And I just think like my biggest piece of advice for youth is to just always try. And even though uncertainty can be scary, it's also super exciting. Like what I said before, if you would have asked me what I was doing like 3 years ago, I would have never thought I'd be doing this. And who knows what I'll be doing 3 years from now or 5 years from now. So it can, especially with COVID, it's definitely been a weird time trying to navigate everything, but you never know what doors it can open. And just to never be too stubborn in your ways of like letting those doors open. It's like always good to grow, and you might be doing stuff that you never expected, but just to always stay true to who you are and know that people are there to support you in all aspects, even if you don't think so. Like the M&A team, we are always here to support youth. You can always shoot us an email, a little self-promo, but like, it's true. Like we're all so excited to help people because we've all been in the same positions as everybody else. So just to always stay true to who you are and to always ask for help if needed.
I'm really excited to release this episode because we just went real deep, and I love talking about stuff like this because I feel like it's so meaningful and relatable to so many people. And I feel like I'm so glad that we got to interview you guys both for our first episode. This was great.
And you're both youth too, which is very it's nice to have and to be able to share experiences of having the youth, keeping it real with the M&A Youth Podcast, and to have youth on the podcast. I think that this is just going to be a great episode. I can't wait for it to air. You guys are fantastic. You guys are both doing such amazing work. And I am so honored that I got to work with you guys all summer long, even though it was virtual because COVID. You guys are fantastic people, and I'm so excited to see where you guys go. So passionate and hardworking, the both of you. So thank you. And thank you for agreeing to be our first guest for us.
I'm so excited for this to air. I rambled a little bit, so sorry about that. But I think it's super exciting. We all have a good camaraderie, and it all, like, all these conversations with all of us are always so genuine because it's just how we feel. And it's just great. Like, and like I said, Wyatt, we miss you. I'm glad we got to like conjoin it together again and like do this, because I miss bombarding you with a bazillion questions. Like every day I texted Wyatt, hey, this might sound dumb, but can you help me with this? And he was also like always more than happy. So I'm definitely glad we all got to collaborate on this. And I am praying, crossing my fingers, that we can all get together in person soon.
Is there anything else that you guys wanted to say to wrap it up? Is there anything else that you guys just wanted to add?
Just to always reach out. I think that's a good note to leave youth on, that you can always like reach us either on our social media page or our email.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of the Keeping It Real podcast with the M&A Youth Team. We hope you enjoyed this episode. For news and on events, projects, different things happening throughout the regions, please visit us on social media at EB Métis Youth on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also head over to our website, albertamétis.com, or you can email us at youth@métis.org. Thank you again, and we'll see you guys next time.